You're listening to another top-rated radio show on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to the American Hour with your host, Commander Tom Garcia, on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Good evening, everybody. This is Commander Tom Garcia, and you are listening to the American Hour. I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Paula Lozon, broadcasting live from Boston, Massachusetts. Paula, how are you tonight?
Doing really good. It's clear up here in the greater Boston area with a temperature of 26, and from what I understand, we've got a really interesting guest coming on this evening.
We do. Wild Bill from America. And he's just joined us. We'll get to him in just a moment. And we're also joined by our good friend, Dick Birnbach from Port Orange, Florida. Dick, how are you tonight?
I'm doing terrific. It couldn't be better. There's no snow. The weather is fairly warm. The water is cold. I can't get in my pool. And we do have an interesting guest. Bill Finley, I don't get impressed with people when I first meet them usually. I was very impressed with him, where he's coming from, and I think he's going to be a super guest today.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. We're looking forward to that. We're going to finish out the show with a little commentary by me after we're finished with Wild Bill. He's got the top billing here tonight. But we're going to talk a little bit at the end of the show and with Wild Bill because I'm sure he's got some important thoughts on Obama's speech on Tuesday, but I just want to give you a little tidbit about what I'm going to specifically talk about later on, and that is that Obama, in his speech, made it very, very clear that he sides with Teddy Roosevelt in knowing that the free market has never been a free license to take whatever you can from whoever you can. Now, I got to tell you this, Dick and Paula, the free market, I don't know when in history the free market has ever allowed somebody to walk up to your house and say, hi, I'm the free market, or I'm somebody in the free market, or I'm Wall Street, or I'm a large corporation, and I'm taking your house, and you can't do anything about it. But I can tell you this, Teddy Roosevelt absolutely believed that the government has the authority to take whatever it wants, whenever it wants, from you. And we're going to get into that. I've got the quotes from Teddy Roosevelt, and I'm going to show you precisely why Obama lied on Tuesday to the American people, outright lied to the American people about his position on you just can't take things from people. Absolutely, that's what he wants, and that's what Teddy Roosevelt wanted, that's what Franklin Delano Roosevelt wanted, and that's the ilk that Obama has been built up on, a socialistic Marxist basis for the government controlling you and taking whatever it wants, whenever it wants. In any case, with that little rant over, welcome to the American Hour, Wild Bill for America. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Hello there, everybody. Wild Bill for America here. I am thrilled to be on your show tonight. We're going to have a good time. And thanks for Dick for introducing me to you guys. Let's get this on. There's nothing I like better than taking on Mr. Obama and his cronies.
Exactly. Well, first of all, I want to say, Wild Bill, tell us where people can find out more about you and a little bit about your background.
www.wildbillforamerica.com. I'm a retired law enforcement officer and former military man, so I salute you, Commander. I'm glad to see you on the air. We need more people like you out there. And anyway, I've seen what can happen when things go south. You know, I've been an investigator for many years and so on, and I'm absolutely determined to make sure that America's freedoms are protected. And my mission in life is to encourage patriotic and conservative Americans from sea to shining sea. And man, I tell you, with this president in office, some of our people are getting discouraged. And I want to fight to make sure that doesn't happen because we really need to win that 2012 election. It's going to be the most important election in our lifetime. And I'd be very happy to work together with you to see that that is mission accomplished.
Well, that's awesome. And now people can go to your website and see videos of you talking about these very specific issues. Is that correct? You probably got a whole YouTube channel, et cetera. And that's what people need to do, because you speak in very plain terms and very directly about very specific issues. And that's what we like about you and what you've done. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, I figure that since my only talent is not being able to keep my mouth shut, videos just kind of came naturally to me. And, I love to speak out on the hot issues of our day, but there's no reason why we can't have a little fun doing it. One of the things I really like doing is making people spit their coffee on their keyboards by throwing in a few Wild Bill zingers. So far, we're up to 4 keyboards wrecked. I'm kind of proud of that. But... we can poke fun at the liberal left all we want to. And one of the reasons I do that, you guys, is because, you know, if we're going to win this battle, we need to win the hearts and souls of the American people. And I know for a fact that Americans will never be attracted to an angry mob. So we need to show them that we're the good guys, and we enjoy standing up for what America stands for. God and country is my rallying cry, and we're going to throw that out as our key to solving America's problems. Because if you look at the problems, the liberal left is trying to bleed us from 1,000 different cuts in 1,000 different directions. And then one reason that American conservatives are getting discouraged is because they spend so much time trying to take on every little problem, every little attack. And what they need to do is focus on the simple solution, a return to the faith of our fathers and the return of to the pride of being an American citizen and recognizing what this great country stands for.
Well, now, Wild Bill, what would you say to those folks that say, listen, the times have changed. Our founding fathers, they were great for the time that they were in, but just too many things have changed.
You know what? A good plan is a good plan. It worked once, and it will work again. The people that want to change things are the ones that don't like the previous success that this country has offered, and there's a good reason for it. They want to become the kings and queens that our forefathers fled. They want a socialist government. They want to make us more like a European nation, because when they get that kind of power, the taxpayers become the peasants who serve the royalty, and the liberal left see themselves as American royalty, and we are not going to let them take that our freedoms away from us in that way.
Well, you know, you're absolutely
right. I'd like to
right
make a
that.
Comment along this line, if I could.
Please, Dick.
As you go through the stores shopping or wherever you happen to do business, at a restaurant when your waiter's done and stuff, they're coming up with this, which they've been doing for a few years, have a happy holiday, or happy holidays. And in every case, we've been looking back at them and saying, yes, Merry Christmas to you too. And they always respond with a great big smile.
Yes.
And what I'm getting out of this is their employers are making them say happy holidays, won't let them say Merry Christmas.
Well, you know, you guys, when you stop and think about it, there are two things that the liberal left attack more vigorously than anything else. One is faith in God. You know, the ACLU has been leading the charge to scrub America free of any influence of God in our public lives. And the other, of course, is patriotic feelings towards the United States. They want to make people to be ashamed of being Americans, because the liberal left know that those two things have the power to totally destroy their agenda. And that's why I push for God and country to make a comeback in America.
I agree with you, Paul.
Now, I want to say this because I'm going to talk about it a little later on in the show, but one of the goals of the Communist Manifesto is the destruction of the family. They want to replace the family with the state. And we'll talk more about that, but Chapter 2 of the Communist Manifesto makes it clear the destruction of the family is imperative to achieving this utopian state like we have in Cuba, Venezuela, Bolivia, and China, and a former communist Soviet Russia. Destruction of the family, replace the family with a state, so that children as they're growing up want to rely on the state, not their own family. And that's exactly what we're seeing. And we'll tie that into the president's speech on Tuesday, but that's precisely what they're doing. And now, I know that you're familiar with Saul Alinsky, Wild Bill.
Yeah.
Have you seen Well, let's talk about Obama's speech on Tuesday, whether it has to do with Saul Alinsky and Rules for Radicals and the playbook. If you're listening out there and you have not seen the book Rules for Radicals, it's not in print anymore. You just got to buy a used copy off of Amazon. It will open your eyes to what they're trying to achieve. But can you talk to that a little bit for us, whether it's Saul Alinsky or just the president's speech on Tuesday?
Well, President Obama is in campaign mode. He's been in campaign mode ever since he got into the White House, and he's pandering to his base, which is the group that I just told you about, who see themselves as America's royalty. And in order to set up their socialist government, they need to bring down the economy we currently have. And you're right, Obama lied through his teeth. I could not believe it when he said that the system we have has never worked. Has this man never read American history, how this became the most powerful and most prosperous nation in the history of the world? I mean, talk about audacity. That goes beyond audacity into foolishness. Now, Alinsky is mainly about demonizing your opponents and eliminating their ability to come against you. And if you've ever read the intro to the dedication to Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, do you know who that book is dedicated to, Tom?
Lucifer.
He salutes the first radical, Lucifer. So that tells you a little bit about the mindset of our current administration. But, Obama just flat lied about the tax cuts on the rich, deregulation and all that. And, unfortunately, there's enough Americans out there who don't do their own research or thinking who just buy what this guy says without bothering to look into it. That's our job. We need to overcome that.
Right. You know, if you look back in American history, and I'm a big fan of very early American history, we had a lot of debt after the Revolutionary War up through the first two administrations. And Jefferson decided we're going to eliminate our national debt. And by the end of his second administration, it was completely eliminated. Now, there were some problems with that because the military was pretty small. And we really were not in a position to defend ourselves. But he felt that because, and here you go, commerce and free enterprise had flourished so much under a limited government, exactly the opposite of what Obama said. It had flourished so heavily that Europe was heavily dependent on our shipping system to bring goods from all over the Caribbean. I mean, that was really the peak of the Caribbean's existence back then, with all of the sugar and rum and spices and on, that our shipping system and also goods coming from America, tobacco, that was a big thing, that our free enterprise system was so strong that we could literally cripple any other nation out there, and that was Jefferson's thought at the time, we could cripple them with our commerce, so we didn't need a strong military. But really, the point is that he felt that government could remain limited, free enterprise could flourish, which it did, and that we could eliminate the national debt, which he did, by the end of his first term. Now, we had to go into debt because there's some wars that we finally got drawn into with France and England, and they were really hurting our shipping industry, so we had to build our military up, so we had to go back into debt. But it was for that purpose. It wasn't for the purpose of government just being big and controlling your life and making decisions for you. So in early American history and through the 1800s up until the Civil War, our economy flourished with a limited government and free enterprise. So when Obama says, just as you said earlier, Wild Bill, that free enterprise has never worked, it absolutely has worked. It's when government has gotten involved with overregulation and grown and grown and grown and sucked the money out of the free enterprise system into the federal government. That's when the problems began.
Exactly. Every study shows that it is government regulation that drags an economy down. One of the most important things we need to do in this country is pull the fangs of the federal government out of the necks of our American businesses so they can do what they are designed to do, and that is build the economy.
Absolutely.
I think to accomplish that end, the first thing we have to do is get rid of the Federal Reserve and then kick the UN out of our country. And then we'll have a good start to cleaning up the rest of the mess.
Yeah, exactly. Well, a centralized bank is something that Jefferson fought against and warned us repeatedly. There are so many things he warned us against. Benjamin Franklin. I would like any senator and congressman today, even the president today, to say that they're smarter than Benjamin Franklin. And he warned us about all these things. And de Tocqueville also told us that the day that the federal government could bribe the American people, think about this with the payroll tax, and I'll come back to this in a second, but the payroll tax, the day that the federal government could bribe the American people with their own money is the day that this country will be destroyed. Now, let's think about this for a second. The payroll tax, it's not a tax because for the last 70 years, the libtards have told us, oh, no, no, it's insurance. You're just paying into your own retirement plan, the Social Security, security bank or whatever you want to call it, fund. You're paying into that. You're paying into a fund. It's not a tax. It's not a tax. Now, today, Obama says, oh, no, it's a tax, and we're going to cut your taxes. Well, I'm going to go with libtard message. It's not a tax. It's your personal retirement fund. So what Obama is saying is we're going to raid your personal retirement fund to give you an extra $1,000 this year. And then he had the audacity to say that it's going to increase jobs. How is it that if I keep $1,000 of my own so-called retirement fund, the jobs are going to be created? It's absolutely ludicrous. But now let's look at it this way. We've got three groups to talk about. Us, the middle class, and our retirement funds. Retirees who are actually retired and need that retirement money and have counted on that and have paid in it their whole lives. And the third is income tax for the wealthy. Okay, so we want to tax the wealthy. So what we're going to do is we're going to take money from the first group, Group A, and give it to Group B. Then we're going to take money from Group B and give it to Group C. Then we're going to take money from Group C and give it back to Group A. He's shuffling money around. And it has nothing to do with creating jobs. And all it is paying Peter, robbing Peter to pay Paul. It has nothing to do with reducing our debt or, and this is the key, reducing the size of the federal government. The Simpson-Bowles Commission, if you go and read that entire report, which I have done, never once mentioned anything that cuts the size of government other than the military. Everything was about cutting the military, cutting Social Security, cutting Medicare, and raising taxes, but government will stay just as big as it is. It's a scam. It's about big government, and it's about government knowing better than you know. Well, Bill, what do you have to say?
Isn't it interesting that when the liberal left don't get their way, the first people they threaten to hurt are our military and our senior citizens? You notice Obama never said that we're going to have to cut down on the benefits to illegal trespassers from Mexico. He never said anything about cutting foreign aid to countries that are run by dictators who support terrorism. No, he automatically threatens the people we care the most about, our military and our senior citizens. And that should tell people what kind of an administration we're dealing with here.
Well, let me ask you this, while Bill. You've been traveling around speaking, and this is something that people need to know. It's not just you've got a website and there's some great videos there, but you travel around to Tea Party groups and conservative groups, and you speak motivational speaking, educational discussion, et cetera, to educate folks. And you've become very popular here in the conservative movement. What have you seen as you've traveled around and spoken? Excuse me. Oh, there we go. What have you seen as you've traveled around and spoken to these groups? What is it that really stands out to you that they're concerned about and that they want to see achieved?
I'm actually very impressed with the unity that I see. You know, the Tea Party sprang up as Americans finally woke up and decided to stop this nation's what I call suicide by foolish spending. And think about what they did in 2010. As a ragtag, unorganized group, they managed to clobber the liberal left and throw a lot of them out of Congress. And now they are coming together. They are better organized, better educated, and Tea Party groups are adding new members every day all across this nation. It is becoming by far the most powerful grassroots movement in America, and some of the liberal newspapers have actually called it that. I am impressed with their willingness to finally stand up and fight for this country. And it's not going to take a whole lot, Tom, because I have kind of a good news, bad news scenario for us. During the last couple of elections, less than half of conservative Americans got out and actually voted. Now, that's the bad news, but think about the good news. Some of the worst politicians in America, Harry Reid and Al Franken come to mind, they won their campaigns by only the slightest margin. A lot of them had to go to the courts to decide. It will only take us getting a few more conservatives up off their couch and into the voting booths to completely clobber the liberal left. It's a mission that can be done. But we need to encourage people because the liberal left has so much influence over the media and so on and Hollywood that they've given us the impression that our vote no longer counts. A lot of people at these Tea Party things come up to me and say, do you really think our vote counts for anything anymore? And I tell them, you bet it does. If your vote did not count, the liberal left would not work so hard to commit voter fraud.
Wait,
I've got two things. Since the redistricting of voting areas, Barney Frank is dropping out of the race. He's not going to run for re-election. His district was changed so much he knows he can't win. And I forgot what else where I was going with it. But a lot of them are starting to change around. And my fear right now, I'm looking at the Tea Parties. And a letter I sent out to both of you gentlemen, I sent out to all of the Tea Party leaders in the Volusia County area and a bunch of people that I've met at different Tea Party meetings. I expected to be lambasted. I thought they were going to say, don't bother coming to our meetings, you're not wanted. I got just the opposite. Sunday we're having a meeting at our house. They agreed with everything I said in the letter and said, yes, we have to unite. We have to decide who we're going to vote for as a Tea Party across the nation. We've got to get the rest of the nation to fall in and support what we want to try and do. If you vote for Gingrich, I vote for Kane, and somebody else votes for Palin or whoever, Obama's going to win. We have
to
pick one person and say that's who our next leader is going to be.
Well, I would say
that's what it will be.
Whoever does win the nomination, whoever it is, we are all going to rally behind 100%. I know we'd like to get the right person in there, and that's my goal and my hope. But I don't know, Wild Bill, if you're willing to discuss a little bit about the different candidates and who you like or don't like, or maybe just point some things out, are you in a position to do that?
I am, and I'm not shy about talking about this. So, one of the reasons we got Obama is because our presidential candidate in the 2008 elections was a man who was chosen because he was semi-conservative and semi-liberal. They thought that he would appeal to the broad mass of all Americans, and it was an absolute disaster. Now, the only thing good that came out of that nomination was we got a real shining star in Sarah Palin, and she has energized the conservative base like nobody else that I know of. But what we need to be careful of now, Tom, is that we do not put up yet another semi-liberal Republican candidate to walk the middle ground. It's time for a candidate that's willing to fight for the American people, to fight for the Constitution, and to take a stand against the liberal left in Congress. As far as I'm concerned, the only reaching across the aisle should be to slap some sense into the liberal left that are absolutely destroying this country.
Okay,
myself,
so,
I don't like the statement, so-and-so can't win. To that, I can only say, remember Jesse Ventura. The man was nothing but a wrestler. We all know wrestling is staged. From there, he went to a radio talk show, KSTP and channel KSTP 1500 in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota. From there, he decided to run for governor. He ran as an independent against Hubert Humphrey, one of the biggest names in the Democratic Party at the time.
Skip Humphrey and then Republican. So there were three people running.
Yes. And he cleaned their clocks as an independent, and everybody was laughing, saying, if you vote for Jesse, you're throwing your vote away. He embarrassed Humphrey so bad, Humphrey left the state and still has not returned.
We can elect anybody we want to
if we get behind him.
What state are you from, Dick?
Minnesota.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's a good point.
And by the way, I was one of Jesse's bodyguards.
All right.
Oh, now we see the connection. No, but you're right. Jesse ran a good campaign, very good campaign, and it was his message. And fortunately, he had the backing and the money to be able to get that message out there, which is very key. But
yeah.
So, Bill, who who is it that you like in this race? And you don't have to endorse anybody. Just give us a little rundown of the folks that you'd like to talk about and what their positives are.
Yeah, it's a little too early to endorse somebody, but let's start from the top. Right now, Newt is running out in front, and personally, I like Newt. He's probably the greatest statesman I've heard. He can really think on his feet. Now, he's made some dumb blunders in his time, and he admits it. You know, sitting on a couch with Nancy Pelosi is not something that you can do and not have it come back to haunt you. But we all change our mind about things, and I trust Newt. I'm glad to see him out in front, and I can support that man easily. I think he's tough enough to deal with our enemies, both foreign and domestic. You know what I mean about that. Now, as far as Herman Cain, I was deeply disappointed to see the media succeed in ruining yet another man's dreams and aspirations. Our national media is an enemy to be defeated. So I hope Herman Cain will find a place to serve in a cabinet. Mitt Romney, I see Mitt Romney as Mr. Politics as usual. He is the typical, slick, baby-kissing politician who will give us exactly what we have had for the past 30 years. He is the man who will not rock the boat. He'll try to walk the middle line, and he will not be an effective warrior to eliminate the liberal left's attack on America. Huntsman, who is this guy? He's just kind of a face in the background, and he's the man that liberals love. They would love to see him in there, and as far as I'm concerned, getting endorsed by so many liberals is a red flag. Don't want anything to do with him. Michelle Bachmann, she's brilliant. She's tough. She's good. She has not had a fair shake. They've given her the Sarah Palin treatment. If she does not win the nomination, I would love to see Michelle Bachmann serve as Attorney General. She has the qualifications, and I trust her to do honest investigations of all the dirty shenanigans that has been going on in D.C. since the Obama election. So,
amen.
Who am I missing here, Tom?
How about Rick Santorum?
Rick Santorum is a good man who probably is the sharpest that I have heard on national security. And national security is definitely going to be a major issue in this election. It's something that Obama is literally ignoring.
Yeah, yeah. How about Rick Perry?
Okay, how about Ron Paul?
Ron Paul is, frankly, a walking nightmare. He's got some excellent ideas on finances, on the Fed, but that's the only issue that he has going. He actually chilled me to the bone during the presidential debates when he said, well, maybe if Iran had nuclear weapons, they'd get more respect. This man has obviously not put any thought into the fact that the countries that are nuclear now have those nuclear weapons to prevent war. Even the Chinese, got to give them credit there. Iran wants nuclear weapons so they can launch them. And apparently Ron Paul has not come to grasp that because he says he does not consider Islam to be a threat to the United States. And that man has been living under a rock. And I've dealt with some of the Ron Paul advocates. And I'm sure they're not all like this, but the ones I've dealt with are just flat, mean, and nasty. Some of them actually told me that unless I support their guy, I hate the Constitution. Now, and another thing that bothers me about the Ron Paul crowd is that they are threatening to sabotage the election unless their guy wins the primary. They are saying that unless we get behind them and make Ron Paul our man, he will run as an independent, and they will throw their weight behind him, taking votes away from the man that we need to get Barack Obama out of the White House. And I just don't care for that kind of backstabbing politics on the conservative side.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. You have said some things I've never heard before, Wild Bill. I thank you for that.
Well, I hope you
needed to hear that.
Yeah, no, that's good. You know, you're absolutely right about
that.
I agree with you. Now, Paula, stand by for all the hate mail from the Ron Paul supporters. Now, what about Rick Perry? Finally, Rick Perry.
I think Rick Perry has been a very good governor. My wife Patty's from Texas. She likes the guy. And you know what? I don't care if he can't remember point number three when he's standing before an audience. I've done that myself. What I care about is what he's going to do when he's sitting behind that desk in the Oval Office. And I think he would be a very good leader. I think he is pretty sharp conservative-wise. I just don't know enough about the man to determine whether he's going to take a stand and fight the liberal left to protect this country, if he's one of those guys that's going to try to make nicey-nice and kissy-face with them in order to try to win respect from the liberal left, which is always a losing proposition. We conservatives will never win the respect of the left or the mainstream media, and they need to stop trying to win them over.
Two things scare me about that gentleman. Number one, he refuses to close his borders off to Mexico. And number two, he brags about the high rate of employment in his state. But he will not talk about the wages being just barely above minimum wage. So basically, everybody has to hold two jobs to make a living.
Okay, I need to say something about Newt Gingrich. I've done a lot of research about the New World Order and how it started with the people who started the Fed. And the Bilderbergers, Trilateral Commission, and Council on Foreign Relations are absolutely real. Newt Gingrich is an officer in one of those, I don't remember which. He has flip-flopped so much, depending on which way the wind blows, he's trying to please everybody. Now, we have a very good friend tonight said he remembers a speech on CNN in 1996 where he recommended reading a book from the Tofflers that touted blending communism and capitalism. You lost me right there with Newt Gingrich. I think he's on the wrong side.
I will say this about Gingrich, and I agree with you, Ian, on that. When he talks about immigration and he creates a false scenario the way Obama does on a daily basis about how the federal government breaks up illegal families, the federal government has never broken up an illegal family in the history of our nation. Families break themselves up. And the reason they do that is they've got to leave their children behind when they get deported for chain migration purposes. They've got to do that. That's the exact same reason why parents of illegal or illegal parents of children here in this country will spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to get them through college when they could send them home to Mexico for a free education. If you get good grades and a high school diploma, you can go back to Mexico. I know this for a fact. And you remember, my name is Garcia, and that's where my family is from, Mexico. You can go back there and are virtually guaranteed to get into the University of Mexico, which is a world-renowned university, a very, very good university. Many people come from all over the world, especially to get graduate degrees. And you can go to school for cha-ching, $0. So why would they spend all that money when they could send their kids home, live with family members, and go to that school for free? They need them to get an education here. Why? Because you cannot bring family members into this country. And I know that because my wife is from Canada. I had to prove that I could support her. It wasn't about, yeah, you can marry anybody you want. I could have married her outside of the country, but I couldn't bring her into this country legally until I could prove that I could support her if she were to never, ever get a job. That is why it is so critical for them to leave their kids here. That is why they break their own families up. And for a man supposedly as smart as Newt Gingrich to not know that, I don't buy it. He is pandering to future votes, not the existing votes. I know many, many, many Americans of Hispanic heritage in this country, not only my own family, but many people that I run across and have known for many years that are absolutely opposed to this chain migration and illegal immigration scheme and amnesty in any way. So Newt is very disingenuous when he talks about immigration. I know that's just one issue, and for many people that's not the biggest issue. And I will get behind him if he gets the nomination, but I'm very disturbed about that. So listen, let me play one little clip here from Obama. Then we're going to take a little commercial break, but Obama pledges to cut the deficit. We'll come back and talk about that because we know that not only is the deficit going to increase significantly, and that's the annual deficit, but the debt as a whole, and we'll talk about those projections here when we come back. But let me play this clip, and then we'll go to commercial break.
And that's why today I'm pledging to cut the deficit we inherited by half by the end of my first term in office.
And
that's
he's
why today I'm pledging to cut the deficit we inherited by half by the end of my first term in office.
Okay.
Supposed to
we'll
have a laugh line with that, Tom.
Yeah. So, okay, we're going to take about a 1 minute commercial break here, and then we'll be right back.
National Veterans Homeless Support, or NVHS, was formed by veterans for the sole purpose of locating and assisting the more than 4,500 homeless veterans living in the parks, forests, and streets of Central Florida. Their mission is clearly defined: to eliminate homelessness among veterans in Central Florida. And they work very hard to accomplish this mission. They offer a very unique service to the community in that they are the only organization that goes out into the field searching for the veterans, providing supplies where they find them, and working with other organizations to get them out of the woods and back into society. If you go to their website, it's located at nvhs.us, and you can also find them on Facebook. Their Veterans Resources link on their webpage is worth its weight in gold, so please go check out the website, and if you're able, make a donation. They do a very, very valuable service to the veterans of Central Florida, and we'd like to expand this and see it expand to the rest of the country.
All right. So let's talk about the debt. And we know that right now we're $15 trillion in debt. Obama's own budget proposals put us, according to the Congressional Budget Office, which we know is always low, in 2021, so 9 years from now, at $21 trillion. We know it's going to be higher than that. It's probably going to be more like $30 trillion. So basically a doubling down of our current debt. And while, Bill, I mean, what's the answer here? We're not getting anywhere on reducing our debt. We're continuing to go further and further into debt. This is a president and administration and a party that doesn't care about the future. We're going to be the next Greece. And it's not going to be 2021. It's going to be sooner than that. But we're going to be the next Europe, the next Greece. What is the answer?
I only see one answer to this, Tom, and think about this. Both parties say they are against the deficits. So why do we have a deficit? It's because they want it there. They're not being straight with us, and Washington is not going to clean itself up. We've waited too long for Washington to get a grip and start doing the right thing. It's pretty obvious that the only way that we're going to get control of this monstrosity is through the states. The states need to rise up and seize the power that is given to them by the Constitution. Back when our forefathers set up the federal government, they absolutely did not set it up to lord over the states. The federal government does not rule us, just the opposite. And we need to encourage our state legislators and governors to stand up and say, that's enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's what it's going to take, quite honestly. So Obama in his speech on Tuesday said that limited government has not worked. Well, actually, when we've had limited government, we just haven't had limited government in the last 80, 90 years. And so look where we're at. But when we had limited government, it absolutely worked. Now, I want to go over to Paula real quick, because Paula, you know, you've been listening to all this. What are you thinking? Do you have any comments? What have you seen? What have you seen about Obama's speech? Anything that we've talked about at this point?
I had a question about the something that I had read today. I don't know if you had seen what I had sent you. Ben Fuller from the Associated Press had written a topic about Obama warning the GOP not to tie the pipeline to the tax cuts. The president had warned congressional Republicans that he would reject any effort to tie the issues to an extension of the payroll tax cut, including the approval of a controversial oil pipeline between the U.S. and Canada, and I believe that would be the Keystone Pipeline. Obama was quoted as saying if the payroll tax cut is attached to a whole bunch of extraneous issues not related to making sure that the American people's taxes don't go up on January 1st, then it's not something that he's going to accept. I'm curious as to, you know, Wild Bill's thoughts on this, because this particular matter would garner, you know, hundreds of jobs for
more than that,
you know, an unspecified amount of time. And he's saying that he's really not for it.
Well, you need to remember that Obama is in full campaign mode. Do not listen to what he says. Watch what he does. And the best way to judge what he's going to do in the future is by what he's done in the past. Americans have had enough presidential blather come out of the Oval Office to last them for another 10 years. The Secret Service agents who guard this man say that he is the sneakiest president they've ever observed. You know, they watch this guy day in and day out. He talks, he says one thing to people, and he turns around and does the exact opposite. We cannot trust anything this man says. As far as the pipeline, that would be a minimum of 100,000 jobs for Americans, and not to mention, you know, the oil that we so desperately need if we're ever going to wean ourselves off of OPEC oil. And always remember the use of threats and what I call criminal extortion. Remember the threats to withhold military paychecks and checks to our senior citizens? That's a common tactic of the left. And they will hold this pipeline hostage as a way of getting their little childish demands. Now, as far as the national debt, Tom, that's been a threat to this nation for the last 30 years, and a lot of people have been concerned about it. But the problem is the left do not see that as a threat. In fact, I think they consider it a valuable tool to remake our economy into their socialist model. I believe that we are headed for a Greece-style showdown in our streets. And I'm sorry to say that, but because our side is totally unprepared. I'm working on a book manuscript right now called Confrontation 101, which is kind of a training manual to prepare conservative Americans to meet the liberal left in the streets, because sooner or later it's going to come down to face-to-face confrontations if we're going to win this country back.
Yeah, well, I'm actually posting right now on Facebook page. People need to go to the American Hour Radio Show on Facebook. I'm posting a link right now to my letter to the Florida Today that was published a few days ago on the Keystone Pipeline. Mm-hmm. And this is something that the president is concerned about, middle-class America, and you just made a perfect case for it, Bill, about how many jobs it's going to create, and it's going to reduce our dependence on Venezuelan and Iranian oil by 45%. And yet this president wants to put it off until after the election to cater to his liberal left. He's not concerned about middle-class America. He's not concerned about creating jobs. He's concerned about getting reelected. He needs four more years to complete the destruction that he's been doing, and it's very clear. So in any case, I'm posting the link right now. Go look at – if you're on Facebook, go to the American Hour Radio Show, and you'll see the link right there to my op-ed on Florida Today. Dick, you're up.
Yes.
What else do you want to ask Wild Bill about?
Well, first of all, I want to blow his horn a little bit. He talked about his films on YouTube. He also has the same films on his site. If you don't want to go to YouTube and dig around through YouTube to find him, just go to his site and all his films are posted there. One thing marvelous about his films, usually when you get into a film on the internet, it's a half hour, hour long. Bills are usually 3 to 4 minutes in length. They're direct, they're to the point, and he always manages to find to put some humor in there, so there's a little bit of, it'll make you smile when you're listening to him. He's got fantastic films posted. You wanted to talk a little bit about religion, Bill, and although I'm not a church-going man, I am a God-believing man. And one thing that upsets me is that our courts, to show their corruptness, they bow to the people that say, I'm an atheist, I don't want to hear them at a football game saying, let's bow our heads and say a moment of prayer for our troops overseas fighting for our country. To them, the court should be saying, if you don't want to pray, leave the stadium for a few minutes, walk out of the crowd, or
well,
plug your ears. And if you don't want to pray yourself, you don't have to pray. No one is saying you have to pray.
Yeah, if they're offended by people praying, they need to show a little bit of the tolerance they're always talking about, because Lord knows we've certainly been tolerant towards them for a few years. But there's one more point I want to make about this oil pipeline from Canada, and that is the fact that there are two pipelines planned. One goes south to Texas so that we can get that oil, and the other one heads to the West Coast to send that oil to China. And China wants that oil. They've already put up $5 billion to build that pipeline. And if they get that pipeline built first, Canada will have no problem selling all that oil to China, and we will be out in the cold.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Canada is going to sell that oil one way or another. It's not about saving the planet. It's about saving our country. And this president clearly doesn't care about it at all.
Well, he takes his marching orders from the EPA. You know, he doesn't want to make them mad. And so, well, actually, there was a congressman, I think, from Indiana that got a resolution passed in Congress to force Obama to take up the issue of that oil pipeline. But in his typical Obama style, he just sticks his nose up in the air and goes to play golf. That is not leadership.
No. Yeah, this guy's played golf more than the golf pro at our local country club here.
I think the number is up to 17 now. 17 vacations that he's taken since he's been in office.
Well, you know,
can
you
take a vacation that lasts until the election's over and get out of our hair?
Well, they were talking about it on the 5 today, and what's his name from Red Eye? Gutfield.
Gutfield, yeah.
Yeah, he said, no, he said he's not going on vacation with his family because he's going to stick around to see this payroll tax cut, extended. He said, no, this is a typical guy thing. He doesn't want to go on vacation with the family Christmas. Who wants to do that, Christmas vacation? He wants to stick around the White House and shoot hoops with his buddies and, you know, walk around the White House in his underwear. It's got nothing to do with politics or actually helping the government. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right, well, listen, it's wildbillforamerica.com, wildbillforamerica.com. Wild Bill, we'll give you the last word here before we wrap up the show. Anything else you'd like to tell people?
Well, I just want to leave people with a word of encouragement. You know, we are winning this battle, and I propose a toast. I think we can all drink to the fact that Barney Frank is so intimidated by the growing power of the conservative movement that he tucked his little tail between his legs and waddled out of his office. He is gone, and Barney Frank is only the first to fall. He sees the handwriting on the wall. So all you conservatives out there, gear up. When election day comes, you need to get your rear end off the couch and to the election booth because you want to be able to say that you took part in the winning back of America in 2012. So, and it's only going to take a few more of us to do a house cleaning in Congress where it is desperately needed.
Here, here. Oh, and, you know, Paula's from Massachusetts, so she's loving hearing that Barney Frank is on his way out. Aren't you, Paula? Yeah, good riddance. All right, yeah. Bill. Hey, thanks for joining us tonight. It's a pleasure. Very well spoken. Great points. And people need to go check out your website, Wild Bill for America. Check out the website. Check out the great videos there. And if you've got a Tea Party group, a conservative group, and you'd like to have Wild Bill come speak at your group, chat with your group, even maybe via video conference. I don't know if you do that or not. But, hey, go to the website. You can get connected with Wild Bill, and this guy is really worth getting involved in your campaign to take our country back. Bill, thanks so much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on, and God bless America again.
Thank you, sir.
You have a good night, Bill, and a Merry Christmas to you and your family.
All right. All right, here we go. I'm going to run through this as quick as I can because it's important people need to know. When the president gives a speech just laden with lies, I just cannot sit back. I've got to respond to it. Now, I'm going to start off first by talking a little bit about Rules for Radicals. We already covered that tonight, and Saul Alinsky dedicates that book to Lucifer. It was Alinsky for whom change was his mantra. Now, what did Obama run on? Change, 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 change you can believe in. Well, let's talk about the kind of change that Obama was really talking about. And I'll get to a quote from Saul Alinsky, the late Saul Alinsky's son, who definitely credits Obama with carrying out his father's mantra. But here's what the mantra was. When he talked about change, he meant Marxist revolution achieved by slow, incremental, Machiavellian means, which turned society inside out. This had to be done systematic deception, winning the trust, and this is the key, of the naively idealistic middle class by using the language of morality to conceal, here's the key, conceal an agenda designed to destroy it. I've read Saul Alinsky's book numerous times, and the goal of the book, made very, very clear in the book, is to destroy the middle class. Now, how do you do that? You act like you're a part of the middle class. You act like you're one of them, and you rally them to do what? Destroy themselves. And that's precisely what Obama has been doing. It's the playbook of the left. Now from the son of the late Saul Alinsky. Barack Obama's training in Chicago by the great community organizers is showing its effectiveness. It is an amazingly powerful format, and the method of my late father always works to get the message out and get the supporters on board. Why? Because it's a lie. It's always a lie. When executed meticulously and thoughtfully, it is a powerful strategy for initiating change. Not the kind of change that middle class actually wants, but change. And then he finished off by saying, Obama learned his lesson well. Now, let's talk about, very quickly, what Obama said in his remarks on Tuesday. He invoked the progressivism of Theodore and Franklin Roosevelt as the right way to solve our problems. He said that Teddy Roosevelt knew that the free market has never been a free license to take whatever you can from whomever you can, and for understanding that the free market only works when there are rules of the road that ensure competition is fair and open and honest. I'm going to prove to you now that Teddy Roosevelt never believed that competition should be fair, open, and honest, and that Obama's statement that a free license to take whatever you want from whomever you want, the free market is not capable of doing that. It has never been capable of doing that and never will. So here's the statement that blows it wide open and shows the actual Marxist beliefs of President Obama. Here's Teddy Roosevelt himself in his speech at Osawatomie, Kansas, is entitled The New Nationalism, August 31st, 1910. He said, quote, "Every man holds his property subject to the general right of the community to regulate its use." In other words, earning of income and the manipulation of it. Whether you want to grow things, build a building, put a business there, etc., to whatever degree the public welfare may require it. So when Obama said that the free market wants to take whatever it wants, whenever it wants, from whoever it wants, and quoted Teddy Roosevelt in that, what he's really saying is, no, it's not the free market that has ever done that, but we do want the government to be able to do that. That is Teddy Roosevelt. And the number one plank of the Communist Manifesto, the abolition of private property. The abolition of private property. Now, here's an article that was written by Ronald Estrito in the Wall Street Journal in December 27th, 2008. It did not get a lot of notice back in 2008 because people said, oh, no, Obama Marxist. No, no, he's not a socialist. Oh, no, he's just a progressive. That's what a progressive is. But here's what he had to say in his article. He said it was the Republican Teddy Roosevelt who insisted in his 1910 speech that there was a general right of the community to regulate the earning of income and use of private property to whatever degree the public welfare may require it. That means they can do whatever they want, whenever they want, to your private property. He was at one here with Democrat Woodrow Wilson, who in 1885 condemned Americans. Here's another good Democrat, Woodrow Wilson. He condemned Americans for their respect of the Constitution as blind worship. That's a quote, blind worship, and suggested that his countrymen dedicate themselves to the Declaration of Independence, oops, except with an exception. We got to take some little pesky little aspect out of the Declaration of Independence. That would be the preface that says that it is established for the protection of equal natural rights as the permanent task of government. So in other words, government's job is not to protect your natural God-given rights. It's government's job to protect government's rights and the general welfare of the people as it sees fit. In his autobiography, Roosevelt wrote that he declined to adopt the view that what was imperatively necessary for the nation could not be done by the president unless, and look what this guy's been doing lately, he could find some specific authorization to do it. The national government, in Teddy Roosevelt's view, was not one of enumerated powers, but one of general powers. And the purpose of the Constitution was merely to state the narrow exceptions to that rule. Okay, so there's Teddy Roosevelt's view of it, and that's precisely Barack Obama's view of that. I'm not going to get into Barack Obama's statements, but Barack Obama has clearly made statements dating back as far as 2007 that that is the purpose of the Constitution, to generalize the Constitution. Now let me talk about somebody who's way smarter than Barack Obama and who was there when the Constitution was written. That is Alexander Hamilton. Here's what he had to say. The specification of particulars in the 18 enumerated powers of Article 1, Section 8 evidently excludes all pretension to a general legislative authority because an affirmative grant of special powers would be absurd as well as useless if a general authority was intended. There you go. That goes exactly against, flies in the face of Teddy Roosevelt, flies in the face of Barack Obama. That was in Federalist 83. Hamilton uncategorically states that all congressional powers, as well as presidential powers, are enumerated, and that the very existence of these enumerations alone makes any belief that Congress or the president has full and general legislative power to act as it desires nonsensical. Now, Mr. Pastrito, in his Wall Street article, continues on this exact thing. He says, Hamilton explains that the fundamental difference between a Republican constitution and a monarch, or you can broaden that in today's terms, communism, socialism, a centralized power that controls everything, is that the latter, the monarch or the communist Marxist institution, reserves some liberty for the people by stating specific exemptions. In other words, the people have certain authority, and here's what they are, 1, 2, 3. But the government has everything else. But the difference is that the former, the constitutional government that we have today, assumes from the beginning that the power of the people is the general rule and that the power of the government is the exception. It's the exact opposite. So in Obama's speech, he made it very clear. He despises our Constitution. He despises our rule of law. He despises our way of life. And he wants a Marxist communist society where he and elites rule us and tell us what is best for us. Now, he goes on in his article, Teddy Roosevelt turns this on his head. In his new nationalism speech, he noted how, in aiming to use state power to bring about economic equality, and is that what we're hearing? Did we hear that in Obama's speech? Economic equality. Everybody's got to be equal. Yeah, just like in Cuba, right? The government should permit a man to earn and keep his property only, this is a quote, only so long as the gaining represents benefit to the community. Can you imagine that, Dick and Paula? That the only way you get to earn a living is if it benefits the community. If it doesn't benefit us, you don't get to earn it and keep it. That's what Teddy Roosevelt said in his. This is what Obama leaves out. He cherry picks a few statements and twists them and absolutely lies about what Teddy Roosevelt said. Outright lie. This president is a liar. The government itself, of course, would determine what represented a benefit to the community and whether society would be better off if an individual's wealth was transferred to somebody else. And guess what? What is the number two plank of the Communist Manifesto? A heavy, progressive, or graduated income tax. Now he continues in his article, we can see the triumph of this outlook in progressive income taxation, which Teddy Roosevelt trumpeted in his speech, along with progressive estate taxes. We may also see this theory in action when a government seizes private property through eminent domain, transferring it to others with the sole goal of generating higher tax revenues, a practice blessed by the Supreme Court with its notorious Kelo versus New London decision in 2005. Now, this is something I alluded to earlier. Part of the communist goal is of ultimate state power. Of its ultimate state power is the destruction of the family, outlined in Chapter 2 of the Manifesto. One of the ties that bind families together as well as encourages parents to work for the betterment of their children is the promise of leaving an estate or inheritance. By legislating that the property owned and accumulated over a lifetime can't be passed on, we help replace the idea of the parent and family with the idea of a benevolent state. Further, the idea of ownership of one's labor and the property earned by it is undermined. One of the tests of ownership is the ability to grant something to another person. If you aren't free to do that, you don't really own anything, and you aren't really free. So now, to wrap it up, some conservatives today are misled by the battle between Teddy Roosevelt and Wilson in the 1912 presidential election, yet Woodrow Wilson implemented most of Teddy Roosevelt's programs once he took office in 1913, including the progressive income tax and the establishment of several regulatory agencies, including the Federal Trade Commission. Others are misled by Teddy Roosevelt's crusade on activist judiciary. But here's the difference. The activist judiciary back then were judiciary that were fighting the progressives and trying to stick to the Constitution. But Teddy Roosevelt hated the judiciary because they stood for the Constitution. And that's the difference. Those are the things that our commander-in-chief are leaving out, and for the very reason to deceive the American people. He does not stand behind the middle class. He does not stand for wealth and achievement in this country. He stands for obliterating the middle class so that we are all low class, like in Cuba and Venezuela and Bolivia and China. So, again, one more time to reiterate, when he says that Teddy Roosevelt knew that the free market has never been a license to take whatever you can from whoever you can, he left out the part where Teddy Roosevelt said that we want the government to take whatever it can from whoever it can. That's the difference. Dick, any comments?
Yeah, I'm sitting here wondering why we've got a federal government. You see, we've got our states, and each state has its governor and its politicians. We've got our military. If we bring our military home and say, you've got all your might, you're going to protect our country from any other country in the world. That's your job. And we're going to make sure you people get paid. And we're going to disband the federal government because it's basically a waste of time and money.
Yeah.
Well, we really need a federal government.
Well, we do. We do for the military purpose and for dealing with foreign nations, and that's precisely what Madison, who wrote our version of the Constitution, there were many versions written at the time, I think seven different versions. Hamilton wrote a version himself, and he actually was for a greater expansion of federal government. But Madison's was adopted and then massaged and worked over, and the intent was for a limited federal government where the states handled civil and social issues, internal to our nation. The federal government was simply to be used for foreign issues, dealing with foreign nations and national security, and that was it. So the key here to understand is that our government is a structure, just like a building, built to handle one thing. But we have gradually been piling more and more issues and responsibilities on the federal government, which was really just supposed to be a little shack.
I think you're wrong there, Tom. I don't think we've piled the responsibilities on them. I think they built the responsibilities up for their own gain.
Well, no, you're right. They've taken them. They've usurped those powers. But
yes,
we have been willing, the states have been willing to allow that to happen. And what's happened is the structure that exists under our Constitution and our design of a federal and state governments is that the federal government was never designed to handle all that. And that structure is about to collapse. And when it collapses, we're going to end up with something very, very ugly that's going to end up looking like our socialistic friends across the ocean who cannot just go further and further into debt and then rely on their neighbors to bail them out. And we're even looking at helping bailing out some of the countries in Europe when we ourselves are so deep in debt and can't pay for it. So that's what I'm saying is we've got a structure that was designed for one thing, that cannot support what we've done to it. $15 trillion in debt that in another 9 years is going to be at least another $10 trillion on top of that, if not $15 trillion doubled. It cannot support that. It will have to collapse. And what happens when it collapses? Are we going to be Greece? Are we going to be Egypt? Are we going to be Yemen or Syria? What are we going to be? What are we going to turn out to be? This is the time to turn it around and go back to the Constitution, which is a roadmap for success, and shrink. So when the president says that limited government and free market has never worked, it's an outright lie. All right, I've said that enough times now. I'm not going to say it anymore. I think we've made our point tonight. While Bill was a great guest, well-spoken, pleasure to have him on. Thanks for getting him as guest, Dick. And
it was my pleasure. I enjoyed talking to him.
Yeah, very smart guy. We look forward to seeing more things out of him. Paula, as usual, we will give you the final word.
Well, a shout-out to our troops serving overseas. Today, Task Force 183 returned home. The first group of soldiers from Task Force 183 came home today after serving in Iraq since August. Approximately 120 troops from the Suffolk-based Troop B 2nd Squadron, 183rd Cavalry Regiment, 116th Brigade Combat Team arrived this morning. The group is part of a larger group of 825 soldiers from Virginia who serve in Task Force 183, which is the largest single-unit mobilization in the Virginia Army National Guard since World War II. They're under the command of the Portsmouth-based 2nd Squadron, 183rd Cavalry Regiment, with units in Norfolk, Suffolk, and Virginia Beach, in addition to groups from Christiansburg and Fredericksburg. The soldiers were stationed at Contingency Operation Base Adder and Contingency Operation Station Kalsu, and as a whole, Task Force 183 conducted a total of 181 convoy escort missions. Your families missed you. They're so happy to have you home, and we're waiting for the rest of our troops to come home from Iraq, hopefully by month's end.
All right. Amen.
Amen to that, Paula.
Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us tonight, Dick and Birenbach. Thanks for joining us, Paula, obviously, as usual. I want to thank everybody for listening in tonight, and we'll be back next week on Wednesday and Thursday. Have a great weekend.
Listening to the American Hour with Commander Tom Garcia on the USA Talk Radio Network.